Tanis Daf Tes Vav. Over the course of the first paragraph of the Masechta, we've spoken about the petitioning of Kadosh Baruch Hu for rain in the proper season. And Eretz Yisrael, the proper season extends basically from Sukkot to Pesach, and the response of the Jewish people in the event that it doesn't rain. If it doesn't rain already by mid-Mar Cheshvan, so already at that point in time, individuals start fasting, and if it still doesn't rain, so we're going to have Tanit Siv, our communal fast days. Three series of fast days. First two are going to be three fast days, Monday, Thursday, Monday. Third one is going to be seven fast days. And so the Mishnah and the Gemara here in this first parak details for us exactly what the protocols are going to look like in terms of the fast days and some of the basic halachas that relate to these particular fast days. We just have a little bit more Gemara to go and cover before the conclusion of this first parak. We're starting a new Dalam and Beis, and we're starting about 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Amar Rav Elazar, Ein Adam Chashuv. Rashali Pol Apanav, somebody who is an Adam Chashuv, an important person, should not fall down on his face, Aleim Kei Nenek Yeshua Menun, unless he knows he's going to be answered. Like Yeshua Menun, Shenamar the Pasuk, Vayomar Hashem El Yehoshua Kum Lach. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu said to him that you have to get up. Lama Zeh Ata Nofel Apanecha. So obviously, Yeshua ben Nun fell down on his face, and unless you are of that certain madrega, so you're not allowed to do that when you are an Adam Chashuv. Rashi says the basic idea over here is that as an Adam Chashuv, you cannot put yourself in a position that does not speak to the chashivas that you're in, unless you know for sure you're going to be answered. The Amar of Elazar, Ein Adam Chashuv Rashai, Lachgor sack. Somebody's an Adam Chashuv is not allowed to put on sackcloth. Elim Kenena Kiyoram ben Achav, unless he's going to be answered like Yoram ben Achav Shenemar. Gemara quotes the pasuk in Sefer Malachim, Vayikishmo HaMelech is Divra Hisha, Vayikras Begadav Vihu Over Al Hachoma Vayar Ham Vihine Hasak Al Bisaro. Terrible famine befell the Jewish people at this period in time. Yehoram fasted. Rashi points out Yehoram was not a good king. In general, generally speaking, he was a Rasha. Consider the fact that his father was Achav, additionally a Rasha. But at least at this point in his life, so he was doing tshuva. He was fasting, he was doing tshuva. And he was answered. He put on sack and he was answered. So certainly to say that he's an Adam Chashav, that we could say easily. The Gemara says it. He was the king of the Jewish people. Despite the fact that generally speaking, not necessarily the best, but still, at this point in time, he's an Adam Chashuv, and the fact that he put on sack, so you can only do that if you know you're going to be answered. Okay. Amar Rav Elazar, continuing law called the Kriya, if you tear your clothing, Akash Baruch Hu is not necessarily going to answer you, v'lo akol b'nefila, you fall down your face, you're not necessarily going to be answered. Moshe v'aron b'nefila. So when you're somebody of the status of Moshe and Aaron, so you're going to be answered when you fall down your face. Yeshua v'kolav b'kriya. And Yeshua and Kalev are going to be answered when they tear their clothing. Moshe v'Aaron ben Nefila dichsi v'yipol Moshe v'Aaron al p'nehem. So over here, as it relates to Korach, so when Moshe and Aaron were petitioning and pleading with the Korach, with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they were davening, so they fell down on their face. Yeshua v'Kalev b'kriya. However, Yeshua and Kalev, so they tore kriya dichsi v'Yeshua ben Nun v'Kalev ben Yefunem karu v'gdehem. So they did kriya. So, Maskev Rav Zer, Vitam Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, the Gemara challenges, E Havaksiv Yehoshua Kedekamar. Had the Pasuk said the word Yehoshua without the Vav, so then this position could have been taken. Hashem Dechsiv V'Yehoshua. But on the other hand, the Pasuk does say V'Yehoshua. So that gives us the implication that Ha, V'Ha Avid, that actually the truth of the matter is that Yehoshua did both. Yehoshua both fell on his face and he did Kriya as well. V'Amar Avalazar Lo Hakol Bikima. Gemara over here is going to forecast what's going to happen b'geula ha'asida, eventually in the ultimate redemption of the Jewish people. So not everyone is going to be standing in front of the what seems to be the Melech HaMashiach over here. V'lo akol b'shachavai, not everyone is going to be bowing down. Melachim b'kima, kings are going to be standing. V'sarim b'shachavaya, princes are going to be bowing down. Melachim b'kima dechsev kol amar Hashem galal Yisrael kudoshal. Gemara here, quoting the pasuk from Yishayahu, as we now are on the top of Tezvav Amud Aleph, Livzo Nefesh, Limsa'ev Goy Le'evin, Moshlim Malachim, Yir'u V'kamu. So you see over here, the pasuk describes Malachim, Yir'u, they will see, V'kamu, and they're going to stand. And then the pasuk goes on to say, V'sarim B'hishtachavaya. Dechsiv, Sarim B'hishtachavu. And as far as princes are concerned, they're going to bow down. So Maskal Rav Zer, Vitem Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani. So again, a challenge to this position. Ihaviksiv Sarim Yishtachavu. So had it said the visarim with a vav kedekamart, so then I would grant you this. Bahasha dechsiv sarim vishtachavu. It says sarim vishtachavu, meaning the vav is going on the after the word ishtachavai, not after the sarim. So hava ha'av, that means that the sarim did both. They stood up and they bowed down as well. Again, all this now, last couple of points of the Gemara, not particularly sure, not clear exactly what the points of these Gemaras are. Meaning, obviously, we have psukim, and obviously the Gemara is darshaning the psukim, but why is it important for us to know exactly what the response is in the Gula Hasida and how the kings are going to respond versus how the princes are going to respond? So, admittedly, not perfectly clear what we gain from this Gemara, what we glean. I'm Rav Nachman Yitzchak, just finishing up over here the first paragraph. Ani Omer, lo hakol leora, v'lo hakol lesimcha. Not everyone is going to be experiencing, let's call it light, because just simply I don't have any other vocabulary to describe it, and not everyone's going to be experiencing simcha. The Gemara over here is either talking about the times of the Mashiach, or it's talking about Olam Haba. Either way, in other words, we're just using words that we can at least grasp, even though the concepts over here, the larger concepts over here, are clearly well beyond this. So it's Adikam Laor of Yisharm L'Simcha. So if you're a tzaddik, you're going to be experiencing or, and if you're somebody who's a yashar, so literally somebody who is straight, so then simcha. So then you're going to be experiencing simcha. Tzadikim la'ora dechsiv or zarul la'tzadik. Uli sharim simcha dechsiv uli sharle simcha. Okay, and we have psukim that point to the fact that a tzadik is going to be experiencing or, a yasha is going to be experiencing simcha. Rashi points out the simcha is greater than the yasharim are greater than that of tzadikim. Okay, and again, I'll just also readily admit that I don't fully understand what the point of the Gemara is, meaning we should be a tzaddik, we should be a yasher, we should be both. I'm not even sure I'm in a position where I can really articulate the difference between a tzaddik versus a yasher. Okay. Hadralach Me'emasai, that is the end of the first parak of the Masechta, and we continue. We're now Antes Vavam and Aleph, and starting the second parak here, and the construct of the second parak of the Masechta, all the Mishnayos are going to be front-loaded, so basically now from here until the end of today's daf, we're going to be learning Mishnayos together. Obviously, the Gemara is going to be spending a lot of time dissecting many of the different sections of this Mishnah over here. So as we go through the Mishnah, so we're going to give a very basic, cursory understanding of the Mishnah. And obviously, as we go over the Gemara, meaning after today, 3 more days of this parak, so we're going to obviously go back to many of the points mentioned over here and highlight a number of details that the Mishnah itself speak out. Why some prakim do this, I don't know, but it happens a couple of times throughout Shas, that all the Mishnahs get front-loaded, and instead of the Gemara breaking it up into sections, all the Mishnahs are presented, and then afterwards the Gemara has a discussion. So Seder Tanios Ketzad. So now we're going over the structure of the fast days. The Gemara itself, we'll get to it tomorrow, but the Gemara itself is going to point out that we're really talking about the third round of fast days. The fast days are made up of 7. So even though the Mishnah itself does not make that point clear, but the Gemara is going to make that point clear. So Seder Tanios Ketzot, so what exactly is going to be done? Mosina Satev L'Rechov Hashir, so we're going to take the Teva and we're going to bring it out right into the street, outside of the shul. V'nos Nefer Mikla Al Gabe Teva, put ashes on top of the Arun of Rosh HaNesi V'Rosh HaBezdin. Also, we're going to be putting ashes on the head of the Nasi. Nasi is the leader of the Jewish people, and also the highest member of the court, the HaBezdin. V'chol Echa V'Echan Osim V'Rosho. Everyone's going to be putting ashes on their own head. Hazakin Shemen Omer Lifnem Divrei Kvushim. So you have somebody who's an elderly person, and he's going to be saying words that are going to be subdued, meaning it's going to make everyone take a much more serious tone. And what the Zakin is going to say is going to sound exactly like this. So the Zakin is going to remind us what happened over there by Nineveh. So it doesn't say the following, that as far as what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking at is that the fact that they fasted, the fact that they were wearing sackcloth, meaning they were, but that's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu took notice of. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu took notice of is the fact that they did tshuva. Now, as far as what else it says in Navi, v'al bigdeichem. So make sure to tear your hearts and not your clothing, meaning that as far as what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was really looking forward to is real changes in our behavior. And the fact that we do fasting and tearing our clothing, so that's all outward signs, and they're important, and they're legislated. But in terms of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see, is that he wants to see a real change. So that's the mussar that's going to be given to us by the Zaken. Rashi over here spends a little bit of time going over the fact that we just quoted two pesukim. We quoted a pasuk from Sefer Yonah, and then we quoted a pasuk from Sefer Yoel. Immediately prior to quoting a pasuk from Sefer Yoel, the Gemara says, Uvik Kabbalah. The Mishnah says, Uvik Kabbalah. And it says the following in Navi. And it's a little bit strange because the Mishnah just quoted a pasuk from Navi and didn't introduce it with the word Uvik Kabbalah. And meanwhile, when quoting a pasuk from Yoel, it says Uvik Kabbalah. You can see Rashi over here. Rashi is bothered by that. Rashi quotes a Tosfos. Now, that's a little bit strange, but we've already made this point a number of times. Rashi over here is probably not Rashi. It's probably a Rishon. Slightly thereafter Rashi, this Rashi would be a really good indication that the Rashi here in Masechet Tanis is not Rashi, which we pointed out a number of times. But even though it's probably not Rashi, but it's certainly a Rishon and probably one of the Balei HaTosos. Anyway, so he quotes a Tosos over here in the Rashi that tries to give an answer, and I'm not going to go through it, but see the Rashi over here quoting a Tosos Kol Dehu that attempts to explain why it is that the Gemara, or the Mishnah, only uses the words Kabbalah when quoting Yoel, not Yonah. Anyway, back to the Mishnah. Amdu b'tfilah, moridin lifnei ha'teva. So they are going to be davening, and they're going to be davening actually outside. So they put somebody down right in front of the teva, meaning basically a Sheikh Sibor. And who is he going to be? Zaken Viragel is going to be somebody who is older and somebody who is a regular. Regular meaning he knows how to daven. He knows the nusach of the tefillah. He knows how to pronounce Hebrew really well. So v'yesh l'banim, he has to have children. Oveso reikam, and the house is empty, meaning they don't have a lot of money. Kedeshei libo shalom b'tefillah. You're going to have somebody who is going to be naturally inspired, meaning he knows what it feels like to have responsibility, be responsible for others, and not be able to provide for them. That's the shliach tzibur that you want. V'omer lifneihem esrim v'arba brachos. There's going to be a total of 24 brachos in Shmoneh Esrei. Yud cheshe b'chol yom, 18 of the standard brachos of Shmoneh Esrei. Obviously, the Mishnah here is working in a time period where there were only 18 brachos of Shmoneh Esrei, not 19 brachos of Shmoneh Esrei. The 19th bracha was added at a later point in time. When we get to the Gemara and Megillah, we're going to be discussing it in more detail. And so we start with the standard 18, the most of all emotion, and then another 6 are going to be added to Elohein. So the Mishnah over here is going to now actually list off the 6 additional brachas that are going to be added into the Shmoneh Esrei. They are added after the bracha of Gol Yisrael, and obviously before the bracha of Rifaino, those extra 6. What are those extra 6 going to be composed of? So the Gemara now is going to give us the 6 themes of these 6 extra brachas. Zichronos, Vishofros. Brachas 1 and 2 are going to be the topic of Zichronos and Shofros. Rashi actually writes over here that basically we're going to take the Nusach of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah and include it over here. From Rashi, it sounds like we're going to be taking all the Pesukim as well. So those are long sections of Tefillah anyway. So that's 1 and 2. And then, Alashem b'tzarasali karasavi aneni. Kadosh Baruch Hu, answer me when I am in a state of being distressed. And then, esai na leharim. And then, mimam makim karasich Hashem. And then, tefillah lani ki atof. So those are 4 different prakim in Tehillim. Prakim's numbers 120, 121, 130, 102. And obviously, all 4 of them have to do with the fact that we are in a state of distress. And we're calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Yehuda is going to give us a different sequencing of these 6 brachos. Rav Yehuda Omer lo haya sarech lama zichronos v'shofros. So he would take out zichronos v'shofros. Ela Omer tachteim. And instead he would say, Rav ki yeh ba'aretz devar ki yeh. And asher haya dvar Hashem el yomiyahu divrei habatzros. So he's going to be citing sections from Malachim and Yirmiyahu. Okay. V'omer chos mehem. Now the Gemara is going to go over the Chasima, meaning we just went over the themes of the 6 brachas. Actually, it's a machlokes that we just saw between the Tanakam and Rav Yehuda. Just for the purposes of simplicity, we're going to assume right now that the Mishnah is working with the Shita of the Chachamim and the right now the Gemara is going to go over the Chasima, meaning those are the concluding brachas for all of them. Now, just to help us out over here in the Mishnah, so I'm going to just forecast that what we're going to do is we're going to count seven. And that obviously is really strange because we know that there are only six additional brachas. So how are we counting number seven? So Rashi points out over here that the first one that we're counting is not an additional bracha, but rather the first one that we're counting over here is going to be the conclusion for Ga'al Yisrael, meaning Ga'al Yisrael is going to be, or Goel Yisrael is going to be somewhat longer with a little extra nosach. And over here, the first chasima that we're learning is going to be for Goel Yisrael. V'omer chos meyem. So we're going to do the chasima. L'vishanah hu'omer. Now, for the first one, you say, Mishanas Avraham Bar Maria, hu yaneh eschem yishma b'kol tzachachachem ayam azeh baruch atah Hashem Goel Yisrael. Good. And obviously this was what clued Rashi into the fact that the first chasima that we just went over is not for an additional bracha, but this is just simply for the bracha of Goel Yisrael. Okay. Now, Alashniel Huomer. Now, when you get to the second bracha, now remember, the second bracha is the theme of the second bracha. Now, the numbering over here gets a little bit confusing because we're doing now the chasimas, and the first chasima that we just covered was not for an additional bracha. So now, basically, what you could do is you can go back to the list, look at the six themes, and we're right now on theme number one. So if you recall, according to the Chachamim, theme number one is Zichronos. So obviously, the chasima over here is going to be in line thematically with Zichronos. So even though the Mishnah is calling it Shnia, the second one, it just simply means that this is the second chasima, but the truth of the matter is that really it's number one. Okay, so if I can just try to clarify, because I know this count is getting a little confusing. So even though the Mishnah is going to be saying Shnia, I'm going to call it number one. Al Shnia Omer Mishana Es Avasen Al Yam Sufu Yanez Chem Yishma Kol Tzakaschem Hayom Azeh Baruch Atah Hashem Zocher Hanishkachos. Good. So we were forgotten. Hakadosh Baruch Hu remembered us. We were forgotten. Mitzrayim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu remembered us. And Zocher Hanishkachos. And obviously that goes in line with Zichronos. Now, the Mishnah says the third one, but again, in terms of brachas, extra brachas, this is now number two. So, Misha Anas Yoshua Begogal, Hu Yanez Chem Yishmakol Tzakas Chem, Hayam Azeh Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Chua. And obviously, over here, invoking Yoshua. So, Yoshua blew on shofar, and Akash Baruch Hu answered. And this obviously goes to the theme of shofros. Al Harivis Hu Omer. Now, as far as the fourth bracha is concerned, again, now this is the third of the extra brachas. And remember, we're going over now Perek Kuf Chaf. So that was El Hashem B'Tzarasali Karasavi Aneni. Yeah. So the Gemara now goes over Misha Ana. This is the Chasima. Misha Ana Eshmo B'Mitzvah Yanazcham Yishma B'Kol Tzachachem Hayam Azeh Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tze'aka. Good. So Kadosh Baruch Hu listens to our crying, and obviously that is connected with El Hashem B'Tzarasa Karasi V'Yaneni. We call that Kadosh Baruch Hu. Alach HaMishi Su'amer. So this is the fifth chasima, which again is the fourth additional bracha. So Misha Ana Es Eliyahu Bar Karmel Hu Yanezcham Yishma B'Kol Tzachachem Hayam Azeh Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tfilah. And this obviously lines up with Kapitol Kuf Chaf Aleph. This is Mimama Kim Karasicha Hashem, and this is associated with Eliyahu Behar Karmel. Okay, we are now up to the sixth bracha, but again, six over here means the fifth additional bracha. So Alashishi So Omer, Misha Anas Yauna B'Mei Hadago Hu Yaneh Eschem Yishma B'Kol Tzakaschem Hayom Azeh Baruch Atah Hashem HaOneh Be'Eis Tzara. Now this sixth chasima is in line with the fifth additional bracha. The fifth additional bracha was Kuf Lamed. So Kuf Lamed is, I'm sorry, Kuf Chaf Aleph. Oh, okay, fine. I made a mistake. Kuf Chaf Aleph was Esayinai El Harim. Okay. And then Kuf Lamed is Mimamakim Karasich Hashem. Okay. And that's Yonah B'Mehadaga. That's Mimamakim. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. And finally, Alashviya Zohamer. Now we are at the seventh bracha. Now the seventh bracha, remember, this is the seventh chasima. So this is the sixth additional bracha. So, and this is going to now go in line with Perek Kuf Beis in Tehillim. Perek Kuf Beis in Tehillim, that's Tefila La'ani Ki Yatov. So, Alashvi Yisro Omer Mishana, Ez Dav Devesh, Lama Benoit Bishlam, Hu Yana Eschem, Vishma Bekot Tzakaschem, Hayom Azeh Baruch Atah Hashem, HaMarachim Al Ha'aretz. Kadosh Baruch Hu should have mercy on the land of Eretz Yisrael. Ad Khan, that takes us now to the end of the additional brachas that are added to Shemona Esrei, so that on Eitan and Sibor, and we didn't clarify this, by the way, but we talked about this a little bit in the first perek, in terms of which round we are in. Are we on the first, second, or third round of the Tanit Sibor? So most likely, and the Gemara is going to make this point clear tomorrow, we're talking about the third round of the Tanit Sibor, the one made up of seven fast days. So we just went over that on these Tanit Sibors where it is most intensified, so we're not going to be saying a standard Shemona Esrei, but rather we're going to be adding a bracha, and not just one bracha, but we're going to be adding six brachas. Those six brachas are going to be added after the bracha of Gol Yisrael. And so over here, the Mishnah, which basically makes up the first half of today's daf, so we actually went through the themes of these six additional brachas, although to be fair, it is a machlokas tanaim exactly what these themes are going to be, but assuming like the chachamim, so the first two are going to be zichronos v'shofros, and then the additional 3, 4, 5, and 6 are going to be thematically connected to Parakim and Tehillim, four different Parakim and Tehillim. And then the Mishnah also went over what the Chesima is going to be for the Bracha of Gol Yisrael, and then for the six additional Brachas, making for a total of seven Chesimas that we just covered, Maisa. As we now turn to the top of Tzvav Amid Beis, so the Gemara tells the following story, Maisa ben Mechalafta, Rabbi Hanan ben Trajan, She'avar Echa Lifnei Ateva. So somebody walked, stepped up and davened for the Amud, the Gemara said Bracha Kula, and he completed the Bracha, V'lo Anu Acharav Amen. And the Tzibur did not answer Amen afterwards. Instead of saying Amen, they said Baruch Shem Kavod Machusel Le'olam Va'ed. Okay, so hopefully you recall, you remember, this is done in the Beis HaMikdash, but they were not in the Beis HaMikdash, they were just experiencing a ton of Tzibur, and that was the practice and they did. Tiku HaKohanim V'tiku. Instructions for the Kohanim to go blow shofar. And mi sha'ana Avram Avinu Bar Hamira hu yanez kam yishma b'kol tzatzchem hayam hazeh hariu b'nei Aaron hariu. And again, instructions to blow shofar. Here with the sound of trua. And mi sha'ana savasena hayam suf hu yanez kam yishma b'kol tzatzchem hayam hazeh. And u'kishabah davar etzol chacham emamru. So, and the matter came in front of the Chachamim, and lo hayinu noagin kein ela b'shar mizrach v'harabayis. This idea that we're not going to answer Amen, but we're only answering Baruch Shem, so that's limited only to the Beis HaMikdash. Shar HaMizrach, Harabayis, the Eastern Gate, the area of the Harabayis. So that's where we don't answer Amen. The Gemara and Brachos gave us an explanation in terms of why that should be. But anyway, So not during a Tanit Sibor. In other words, on a Tanit Sibor. So the response should be the standard Amen. Okay. Adkan. We are going to continue in the Mishnah. We are, a little bit more than a quarter of the way down on a Tzvav Amid Beis. We just went through the, protocol in terms of what the extra Shemona Esrei is going to look like on a fast day. We went over a Maisa with Rabbi Chalafta and Rabbi Hanan ben Trajan in terms of the way it went over there, a little bit different than it was outlined in the Mishnah. And now we're going to go over the fast day. Shalosh Taniyos Rishono, so as far as the first three are concerned, meaning round number one, so Anshei Mishmar Metanim V'lo Mashlemim. So as far as Anshei Mishmar are concerned, so they're going to fast, but they're not going to finish off their fast. And Anshei Beis Av Lo Yimetanim Klal, and Anshei Beis Av, so they wouldn't fast at all. So before we go on, let's just get grounded in terms of who the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beis Av. We've gone over this point numerous times. It bears repeating. Anshei Mishmar, so that is the section of the Kohanim. They're going to be going to the Beis HaMikdash and working the Beis HaMikdash for that week. All the Kohanim are broken up into 24 Mishmaros, and each Mishmar is going to be going on rotation to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, to do the Avodah for 1 week of the 24. So out of every 24 weeks, each Mishmar is going to be working in the Beis HaMikdash for 1 week, from Shabbos till Shabbos. And this will obviously cycle two times every year, at least two times every year, so that after at 48 weeks, so you're going to be having each section of the Kohanim, each Mishmar of the Kohanim going up there for a full week. Each Mishmar itself is broken up into six Bate Avos, six subdivided sections of every Mishmar. And then each subdivided section of every Mishmar is going to be working 1 day in the Beis HaMikdash. That means to say that the Mishmar is going to be working from Shabbos to Shabbos, But let's right now call it from Sunday to Friday. And then for each day, so only one part of the Mishmar is going to be working. And that section of that Mishmar is called the Beis Av. So you'll have a Beis Av dedicated for Sunday, another for Monday, et cetera, for the balance of the week. So that means to say that a Beis Av is designated to work for one day. And the Mishmar in total is going up there to be there for the whole week. But of the Mishmar, each Mishmar is going to be broken up into six Bate Avos, and each of the Bate Avos is actually dedicated to work for one day. So when you go to the Beis HaMikdash for your week of Mishmar, you actually know which day you're going to work because the assignment of Beis Av already is divided prior to the beginning of the week. And what the Mishnah now is going to be describing is that considering that you're part of the Mishmar, so, and considering the fact that you're either going to be working or on deck to work, so what can you do or what should you be doing in terms of fast days? Meaning that let's say you have a conflict of you being in the Beis HaMikdash, doing the Avodah, but at the same time, there are Taniyos going on. So what should be your position? So that's what the Mishnah is describing. And the Mishnah over here, we're going to start again, Shalosh Taniyos Rishonos, for the first series. Again, the first series, which are not intense. They are the least intense of the public fast days. So Anshei Mishmar Matan V'lo Mashlemim. So if you're a member of the Mishmar, so you're not on duty, but nevertheless, you're not going to finish off your fast. I mean, you start fasting, but the moment you start feeling uncomfortable, like we described in the first parak, so at that point in time, you can eat. Anshei Beis Av, lo yimus anen klal. Now, if you were a member of the Anshei Beis Av that was working on that given day, so then you wouldn't be fasting at all. You wouldn't even start the day in a fast for the simple reason that you're going to be doing the avoda on that day. Shalosh Shniyos. Now we move to the second series of fast days, which obviously now are more intense. Anshei Mishmar Masanim Mashlemim. So members of the Mishmar, even though they're on duty, so to say, but they're not working that day, so they're going to fast and they're going to complete their fast. Anshei Beis Av Masanim V'lo Mashlemim. Members of the Beis Av can start their fast, but are not going to complete their fast. In other words, they're going to be working on that day. They're going to be doing the avoda on that very day. Sheva Achronas. Now, as we move to the last series, the most intense, the seven latter fast days of round number three. So, Eilav Eilav, Metanim L'Mashlim, and Divrei Rabbi Yehoshua. So, everyone's going to be fasting. Everyone's going to be completing the fasting. Those who are part of the Mishmar, those who are part of the Beis Av. And that is all according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehoshua. So, we just went over the protocol for the Mishmar and the Beis Av in rounds 1, 2, and 3, according to Rabbi Yehoshua. The Chachamim Omrim. Now we move on to the sheet of the Chachamim. Shalosh Taniyos. Rabbi Shalosh, Elu ve'elu lo ayu mit anin klal. That as far as the first fast days are concerned, nobody's going to be doing any kind of fasting whatsoever. Shalosh Taniyos. Then when you move on to the second series, Anshei Mishmar, so members of the Mishmar, mit anin v'lo mashlimin. So they're going to start the fast, but they're not going to complete. And the Anshei Beis Av, those who are actually working, so lo hayu matan klal, wouldn't fast at all. And Sheva Achronos, then when we're talking about the last seven, round number three, Anshei Mishmar matan mashlimim. So the members of the Mishmar are going to be fasting and they're going to complete their fast. Anshei Beis Av mitanim v'lo mashlimim. Members of the Beis Av who are working on that given day, so they're going to start the fast, but they're not going to conclude the fast. Meaning, according to the Chachamim, basically everything Rabbi Yehoshua said. So you're going to be 1 degree more makel for each of the series. Series 1, 2, and 3 of the public fast days. Anshei Mishmar mutan l'shtos yayin b'leilos. Now, as far as Anshei Mishmar are concerned, so they're not going to be serving that day. So they're allowed to drink wine that night. Avalo b'yamin, but not during the day. During the day, again, they're on duty. They are in the bullpen, and they can be called on to help. Meaning the Beis Av are the ones who are going to be doing the avoda, but for whatever reason, the Beis Av, they find themselves in a position where they need assistance, and the people they're going to go turn to for assistance are going to be other members of the Mishmar. As a result of that, other members of the Mishmar, being that they're on duty, so they can't drink during the day. Obviously, you cannot do the avoda and drink. The Pasuk in the Torah, also connected to Nadav and Avihu, and so since the Anshei Mishmar are in a position where they are on duty, so therefore they can't drink during the day. Anshei Beis Av cannot drink during the day, nor can they drink at night as well. Why can we have them Anshei Beis Mishmar drinking at night? Meaning, shouldn't they be concerned? Shouldn't they worry that they may be called on at night? So Rashi is bothered by that. Rashi writes over here, Mutar L'shtos Yayin. So the balelos, I'm looking at the Rashi Dibur HaMasach balelos, it's about halfway down. So ein lachusha meticha bet avoda sharei ra'u mi be'erv shepasku ha'akarbonos v'lo kavda ha'avoda she'avo rov ha'akarbonos v'lo yaspiku b'nei bayis beis av shel oso yom v'tzrichim elu l'sayan v'ein v'harei einan ru'uyim la'avoda mishum shechras. So the way Rashi understands it is that by nighttime, so the Anshei Mishmar will know whether or not the Anshei Beis Av need assistance or don't need assistance. Meaning, at that point in time, all the karbanos that are offered are done, are in the books. No additional karbanos can be brought at night. And now at that point in time, they'll know for sure whether they'll need assistance or not. And obviously, once they've determined that there's no longer assistance that's needed for the Anshei Beis Av, so that night they can drink. Good. Anshei Mishmar and Anshei Maimon. Now, as far as Anshei Mishmar and Anshei Maimon are concerned, Asur Melasapril Mechabes, so they're not allowed to cut their hair, they're not allowed to launder their clothing during that week. Now, Anshei Mishmar, we've been discussing already for a couple minutes here in the Mishnah. Who are Anshei Maimon? So Anshei Maimon is a representation of the Jewish people that are going to be fasting and having special tefillos during that week. We'll discuss more about the Anshei Maimon. So the Anshei Maimon are not doing avoda per se, but they basically are representing the Jewish people in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, they are going to be fasting, and therefore, they are not going to be able to cut their hair nor do laundry. However, the Thursday of that given week, so they can cut their hair, they can launder because Shabbos is coming. Okay. We turn our attention here at the end of the Mishnah, and we go back to Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis we've already covered a couple of times in Shas. We covered it in Rosh Hashanah. We also covered it here in Tanis. And here in the Mishnah, we're going to be speaking out Megillas Tanis. Remember, Megillas Tanis is a listing of days that occurred during Bayit Sheni where the Jewish people experienced either a major miracle or a minor miracle. And as a result of that, that day is recorded in Megillas Tanis. So for the days which have a major miracle, so the Chachamim note that they are really special days in which the Jews are not allowed to fast on that day, nor can they even give a eulogy on that day. On days which are quote-unquote a minor miracle, so on those days, so the Jewish people cannot fast on those days in honor of that day, but they can give a hesped on those days. And so the Mishnah over here is going to be describing what happens when you have a day like Megillas Tanis. Kol HaKasuv Megillas Tanis Lo LeMisbeid. So when you have a day on Megillas Tanis where it says that you're not allowed to give a eulogy, so Lefan of Asur, not only is it going to be Asur on that day, but also the day before. La'acharav mutter, but the day afterward, after the day recorded, is going to be mutter. Rabbi Yossi Omer Lefan of La'acharav Asur. Rabbi Yossi says that the day before and after are going to be Asur. Now, delo lehisana. If the day recorded in Megillas Tanis only is telling us not to fast, so Lefan of La'acharav mutter, so then you can go ahead and you can, you are allowed to fast the days before and after. And Rabbi Yossi Amar Lefan of Asur Lachar of Mutter. And Rabbi Yossi says the day before would be Asur, but the day afterwards would be Mutter. So, and the Gemara is going to explain these positions over here. Ein goes in Tanis al Tzibur b'tchila b'chamishi. Now, in terms of making a Tanis Tzibur, so it's never going to be instituted on a Thursday, meaning the first of those days are not going to be instituted on Thursday. Shalom lafki asharim, because what's going to do is it's gonna wreak havoc on the economy. The first round of fastings are gonna be Monday, Thursday, Monday. And over here, the Gemara is operating, the mission is operating with the assumption that, the market is really sensitive. Now, the truth of the matter is, anyone who's following the markets, so you'll know that the markets are, in fact, really sensitive. So, a little bit of bad news, and all of a sudden, the markets start reacting. Good. And nothing has changed in the last couple thousands of years. In that, if a fast day was initially instituted on Thursday, so what's going to happen is that people are going to run to the stores on Thursday, and they're going to buy. And what are they going to buy? They're going to buy a lot of food, because they have to buy food for both breakfast, Thursday night, and they have to buy for Shabbos as well. Now, the truth of the matter is that the market shouldn't overreact to such a buying, meaning the people didn't eat on Thursday. But, however, anytime there's any kind of anomaly within the buying behavior of the public, so it's going to be cause for the market to overreact. And the Chachamim knew this. So as much as the Chachamim are instituting fast days, the Chachamim are also being sensitive to not upsetting the market. And so therefore, to make a fast day initially on a Thursday, so the market will not react well to that, and the prices are going to shoot up, and the Chachamim didn't do that. The Mishnah is assuming that we understand that if the first fast day was established on a Monday, so now everybody knows, the market now knows, that we're in the middle of fast day. So if there's a, if people are running to the market that Thursday night to buy, but everyone understands that we're in the middle of a series of fast days. So that's why you always start off on a Monday. Now, that's in the first round. Now, what happens when you get to the second round? So the Mishnah tells us that for the second round, it's going to be Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Now, even though we just learned that you can't start on a Thursday, but this is round number two. Round number two, which obviously is immediately following round number one, so maybe you can make the argument that, and not only can you make the argument, the Tanna Kamma does make an argument, that now you can start on a Thursday, because the public now are sensitive to the fact that we're in the middle of a fast day. We just fasted Monday, Thursday, Monday in round one. So now for round two, you can go Thursday, Monday, Thursday. Rabbi Yossi Amar, Kashem Shein Rishonos B'chamishi, Kach Ein Lo Shnios V'lo Achronios. And Rabbi Yossi says no. That with each round, you're always going to start on a Monday. So just like round one starts Monday, Thursday, Monday, second round also is going to start on Monday, Thursday, Monday, and the third round also is going to be starting on a Monday. And goes in Tanis Al Tzibor, Barashah Chodesh Mechanak of Purim. So you cannot have a public fast day that's going to coincide with a Rosh Chodesh or a Chanukah or a Purim. However, if you started, so then you do not interrupt Divrei Rabbi Gamliel. That is Shita's Rabbi Gamliel. Amar Rabbi Meir, Afal Pi Sha'amar Rabbi Gamliel, Ein Mafsikin. Now I know the Rabbi Gamliel says that you're not going to be Mafsik. In other words, if you're in a series, so you're going to fast even on these days. But Mo Dehaya Shem Ashlimim, it doesn't actually mean that you're going to be fasting on these days. Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim just simply means that you'll skip breakfast. You'll make yourself somewhat uncomfortable, but you don't have to conclude. You don't have to finish the fast. V'chein Tisha B'av Shechalios B'Erev Shabbos. Tisha B'av falls out on an Erev Shabbos. So the Tisha B'av falls out on a Friday. So on one hand, so we are required to fast, but you don't have to finish off the fast. You can eat before Shabbos begins. Again, much more details are going to be discussed on this last point of the Mishnah. Okay, and Adkan. And we're going to stop over here. And tomorrow we pick it up with the Gemara. So today's daf effectively were Mishnayos, meaning we finished the first parak of the Masechta. We went through a couple of Divrei Agadata in terms of the proper response of leadership of the Jewish people in light of the fact that there are communal stressors, communal distresses, but at the same time they're also the leadership, and they don't want to minimize their position. So are they allowed to prostrate? Are they allowed to wear sackcloth? Are they allowed to put themselves in compromised positions? So basically the Gemara says only if they know they're going to be answered, like Yehoshua, etc., etc. A couple of other words of Agarata finishing up over here, the first parak of the Masechta, and then we began the second parak. In the second parak, so we're now talking about the Seder Taniyos, exactly what the protocol is going to be during these public fast days. So we're really focusing on the third round. Teva being taken out into the street, ashes being put on the Teva, on the Nasi, on the Abbezdin. Everyone's going to be having ashes on their head, and a special Shmon Esrei. That special Shmon Esrei is going to be comprised of an additional six brachas, and the Mishnah, and we went through all the Mishnahs on the Amud Aleph of today's Daf, actually took us through the six additional brachas that are going to be said. So the themes of the first two are going to be Zichron Veshofros. The themes of the next four are going to be Prakim and Tehillim. Prakim's numbers 120, 121, 130, and 102. There is another sheet in the Mishnah, the Sheet of Rabbi Yossi, who has a slightly different version of what these six additional brachas are. And then the Mishnah also went through the chasimas of all these brachas as well. The Mishnah then went on to record the practices of Rabbi Chalafta and Rabbi Chanan ben Trajon, where it was slightly deviant than what we just described. The Chachamim were not happy with the way they did it. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe exactly what is going to be the behavior of the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Beis Av on these fast days. In other words, they're going to be doing the Avoda, specifically the Anshei Beis Av are scheduled to be doing the Avoda on that day. Anshei Mishmar in general are on duty for that whole week. So should they be fasting? So there's going to be a difference between the first, second, and third round of the fast days as each one intensifies. And the Mishnah also brought down a machlokas tanaim in terms of what should be during these during these three rounds of fast days. The Mishnah then went on to describe what happens if any one of these days coincides with something recorded in Megillas Tanis. So we're going to be discussing more of that in the Gemara. And then, in terms of when we start, so we always start on a Monday. We do not want to start on a Thursday. Starting a public fast day on a Thursday is going to really upset the market, and the Chacham did not want to do that. What do we do for round two, round three? Can they start on a Thursday? Machlokes HaTanayim. So, and now, what about a series of fast days that are going to coincide with either Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, or Purim? So, the Mishnah says really shouldn't happen. Lechatchila shouldn't happen. But once you're already started, once you're in a series, so then in a mafsik. In other words, you continue with the fast days. And then Rabbi Meir quotes that even though Rabbi Gamliel says that you don't finish the fast, I'm sorry, even though Rabbi Gamliel says that you're going to fast, but what Rabbi Gamliel meant is that you're going to start the fast, but Einu Gomer, but you're not going to finish off the fast day. Adkan, that takes us to at least just to the Mishnah. Tomorrow, Mirza Hashem, we begin with the Gemara.